Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, and I'm not going to lie to you, this one is not going to be a fun one, so if you're not in the mood for angry talk, then this is not going to be your episode. But for those of you that are looking for an outlet after last night's debacle, look no further. Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you your shows for your favorite teams, just from fans just like you, keeping you up to date, keeping you abreast of everything you need to know, so you can be the fan that you want to be. The Locked On Podcast Network, brought to you by our good friends at Odyssey, which includes us and Intercom and a few others, and our good pals at Tegna, who have been just phenomenal for the brand and really, really love what we've been able to do with Tegna. As the Locked On Podcast Network continues to grow so that we can bring you more and more of your favorite sports across all of your favorite platforms and all of your favorite podcasting host sites, whether that be Pandora, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever, you know the whole list. Also, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You guys know I'm a huge fan of Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and try them out for yourself. So, obviously, you guys all know full well what I'm going to be talking about today, and that is what is the most egregious replay miss I have seen in a very, very long time. It will probably be the biggest blown call of the year. I'm talking, of course, about the quote-unquote sacrifice fly hit by Didi Gregorius in the top of the ninth inning, where Alec Bohm clearly did not touch home plate, but because the umpires are so terrified of going against each other's calls, they allow him to be ruled safe on some random technicality, saying there wasn't enough evidence to overturn, despite the fact that there was not a single angle that even showed that he might be safe. I mean, there was that. It's an absolutely horrifically bad call. And we're going to have a lot of audio on today's show. So I've got some post-game stuff coming up from Snit, from Travis, and from Dansby. Hold on to your Dansby talk. So we're going to talk about that a little bit too, because the Braves shortstop missed the mark on this one. And if you're a big Dansby fan, today's episode's probably not going to be for you, because not a lot of what he did there was. If I wasn't using this to talk about something and compare him to a player earlier, then I wouldn't want to play. It was not a smart move by the Braves shortstop. We'll discuss that a little bit later, but on to the game itself. I mean, the game was a closely fought contest, and that's what makes replay playing such a big role so much more devastating and so much more incendiary, because it was a really close game. It was back and forth. Neither starter was that good, or you could, to phrase it another way, God damn it. To phrase it another way, you could say both offenses were just really good and came up big in clutch moments. I mean, you look at a 7-6 ball game, 10 hits for the Braves, 8 for the Phillies, almost 20 hits between them, and you're looking at it, and the Braves' offense, after that really bad stint in the first series in Philadelphia, the Braves' offense has been just torching people. They've managed to turn around the Babbitt bad luck immediately. They're starting to hit balls out, and Ronald Acuña is just on a different planet right now. And I don't want what happened in the game to overshadow just how good Acuña's been. I mean, last night he went 3-for-4 with another bomb home run and two ribbies, which puts him on the year at .444 with a .462 OBP and a .917 slugging. That's good for a .1378 OPS, by the way. Ozzie Albies, after starting off the season 0-for-19, has started hitting again. He had a home run last night as well, two-run homer in the first inning to bring in Acuña. He ended up going, only went 1-for-5, but you can clearly see that Ozzie's starting to turn things around. Freddie also went bombs away in this game, went 1-for-4 total, and he was the one, to me, that one of the biggest reasons why this replay hurt so much was it cost you at-bats of Freddie, Marcel, and Travis d'Arnaud with a chance to win the game or tie the game, depending on how the 10th inning had turned out. Marcel went 0-for-4. He's been in a really bad slump start this year. I'm not too worried, though. He tends to start off a little bit slow. Travis went 1-for-3. The walk. I mean, overall, the offense, the only starter that did not get a hit, besides Drew Smyly was Marcell Ozuna. Everybody else got a hit. Christian Pache had a nice double. It was good to see. Made contact in three out of his four plate appearances, which is what I really wanted to see. If we've got time and I'm not super angry, we'll talk about Pache a little bit because there's some things to talk about with him. Riley went 1-for-4. Only 1K for him, which is, you know, it's good to see. He's starting to put some better swings, some better at-bats together. And the pitching, aside from Drew Smyly, who gave up 5 runs in 5 innings, obviously not the line he's looking at. The whip's not too bad. It's right at 1, but the ERA is at 5.73. Gave up a couple home runs that were the culprits for today. As the Phillies, Didi kind of hurt the Braves a lot. Had 4 ribbies on his own, including that controversial sac fly, so it should just be 3 ribbies. Harper went bombs away, which in what I thought was a very bad move by Brian Snicker. I don't understand why Snick keeps bringing righties in to face Bryce Harper. This just in for anybody who's not aware of this: Harper mashes righties like as well or better than anybody in the league. So I'm not really entirely certain why Snicker keeps bringing in righties to face him, but maybe should change that going forward. I know that there's not a lot. Which is weird, too, because the bullpen is so lefty-heavy. I know he probably wanted to stay away from Tyler Matzek because he'd used him 2 games in a row, but A.J. Minter, and there was 2 righties coming up after Harper, and there's a 3-batter minimum or whatever, but A.J. Minter is a better pitcher than Nate Jones at this point. And, by the way, A.J. Minter is also very, very good against righties, or against lefties, and against righties. I mean, he's good against everybody. I mean, you could have even brought in Josh Tomlin. You could have brought in a whole host of people, but I would have stuck with, I mean, I don't understand bringing in a righty to go against him at all. I would have brought in Minter and let Minter take his chances with JT Realmuto and Alec Bohm or whatever they have their lineup set up as. I believe it's Harper, JT, and then Bohm. But it could be Bohm and JT could be flipped. Whatever. The point being, bringing in any righty to face Harper is just not a smart situation. Harper is the most dangerous hitter in that lineup, so that's who you should pick your bullpen moves around, or you could have even just left Smyly in to face Harper and then taken him out. But I digress. That wasn't a smart move. That wasn't a great move, but it certainly was not the main culprit of the night, and I don't have enough time in this segment to get to it, but we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to start playing a ton of audio. If you guys aren't into audio shows, then I'm sorry in advance, but got a lot of audio because it was a very important call, so we're going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're going to get right into this call and why it's just an absolutely atrocious call. And we'll see where we go from the end. But I do have some thoughts on replay in general, as well as a couple. I'll throw out a conspiracy to kind of lighten the mood a little bit. But we're gonna discuss this call coming back after this right here on Locked On Braves. Everybody, it's Dylan here to tell you about my friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.ag is the best place to go. And maybe if you don't want umpires to ruin your day, go to BetOnline and maybe don't take the over-under lines. I know the money line for the Braves, there were a couple sites that were actually giving money back. But maybe you see a line that you want to say, hey, are the umps going to blow one call over-under? How many calls the umpires blow today? You probably won't see that on BetOnline.ag. But if it's a line that you really want to play, the good news is you can contact them and you can say, hey, this is a line I want to play. And if it's something that they believe in enough or they think it's a real, you know, it's a real worth bet, then they'll make a line, a custom line specifically for you. And it's not just baseball. It can be mixed martial arts. It can be cricket. It can be hockey. It can be basketball. It can be anything. BetOnline.ag covers every sport you could possibly think of, all sorts of lines ranging from beginner all the way on up to the expert type of lines. If you like to say that you know what's going to happen, you think you're pretty knowledgeable, put your money where your mouth is. Go to BetOnline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get a 50% deposit match on your initial deposit. That's just go to BetOnline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. You put in 100, they're going to throw in another 50, and you're going to be ready and raring to go. Again, go to betonline.ag, enhance your sports experience, and put your money where your mouth is. Betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON today. Welcome back to a very annoyed Locked On Braves. As I said, we're going to get right into this horrendous replay decision that really played a gigantic role. I don't want to say it cost the game, But it kind of did because it changed the way that the game was being played. It took away at-bats from the 3, 4, and 5 potential. It took away, not even potential, it took away definite at-bats from the 3, 4, and 5 spots in the Braves lineup. Freddie Freeman, who, by the way, mashes Philadelphia. Marcell Ozuna hasn't had a great season, but we know what he can do. And Travis d'Arnaud, who's been hitting the ball very hard lately as well. Absolutely pathetic showcase. And as you might imagine, that was what the theme of the post-game interviews was all about. Here's Snicker on what he saw during that play.
We had an angle that I saw he didn't have, because I wondered till I saw a certain angle, and I was confirmed my what I thought, that he didn't touch the plate.
And as you can see, Snick clearly not happy. What he says about having his own angles there, obviously. I mean, we all saw it. There was multiple angles that clearly showed Bohm's foot never touched the plate. This is one of those cases where I know we joke a lot in Braves country about how replay gods are always against us. This was, and we should always expect it, and there was jokes around, you know, I honestly knew that they were going to do this. Well, I get those jokes and all. This is one case where I really, honestly, and truly did not think there was any possible way that they were going to get this call wrong. I mean, it was clear from multiple angles that his foot never touched the plate. I don't care what Joe Girardi says. It doesn't matter how weird Alec Bohm's toe is. You're still inside of a cleat. It did not even come close to touching the plate, to tell you the truth. I mean, the closest it was touching the plate was when it was up over the top of it. Trying to say that he dragged a corner, it was not anywhere near close to the corner of the plate. It's absolutely pathetic. And it just goes to show that this replay system, it's not actually about getting the call right. And it's not really about getting the call right in any sport. They just say that to try to appease fans. But in baseball especially, we talk about how bad the NFL's is, and it's very bad as well. But this is just, how can I take the NFL's bad system and make it even worse? It's almost like I've got this crazy conspiracy theory, and this is also just because I'm very mad. But if you want to play the conspiracy theory outlet, Major League Baseball, it looks almost like you could defend, or you could make a case, or you could tell me, I'll say it this way, you could tell me that Major League Baseball handed over all replay and all controls of replay to the umpires union in order to make sure that Angel Hernandez never was allowed to umpire a World Series game, and I would totally believe you. It sounds crazy, but it also sounds like something that would be the only logical explanation for what happened in replay last night. There's no way New York could watch all of those angles, because they have every angle that we saw on ESPN. They have every single angle. It took them 5 minutes to watch those angles. And there's clearly, at no point was there any time where Bohm's foot was anywhere near close to where you could say it actually touched home plate. It's pathetic. It's completely wrong. It just looks like Major League Baseball and the Umpires Association made a deal and said, hey, if we give you guys control over replay and all replay reviews, then you guys will in turn make sure that we don't have to use Angel Hernandez in the World Series. And whenever he decides to file complaints about being discriminated against, we can make sure that we get together on that. So, pathetic. I know that's not the real reason. Don't come at me with this. I know it's just made up, but there's nothing else you can say about replay about trying to get calls right. I mean, it's clearly not about that. It's clearly just a way for other umpires to cover other umpires so their blanks are not in the jackpot, to quote a famous Mets manager. And they knew it was the wrong call. I mean, clearly they knew it was the wrong call. Multiple times. I mean, Snit came out and he was trying to get tossed after that call, and they would not toss him because they knew they're the ones that messed that up. Not just messed it up once, but they messed it up twice. And you'll hear from Travis d'Arnaud here in a second, his thoughts on the whole thing. I've got a couple cuts from Travis here, but in one of them he talks about how, you know, it's not, he doesn't want these umps to have to explain themselves. So he wants the ones in New York. I want both of them to. And I get the home plate ump. Here's the thing. That's a really tough play to call live. Because Bohm actually, if Bohm knew how to slide, he would have been safe. But it was a bad slide, and he clearly didn't touch the plate. Now, in live speed, with everything going as fast as it is, I can understand missing that call and making the safe call as the kind of baseline, because it is such a big play. There's no excuse once you go into reviews, though. And I get that there's nothing that the umpires at the game can do at that point. It's all up to New York at that point. But that just goes to show that the guys in New York, they're clearly just there to reinforce the call that's on the field. I mean, it's absolutely pathetic. And luckily, Travis d'Arnaud, I thought, was the most open about this. I'm sure he, Snit, and Drew Smiley will all get fined for this. But here's Travis's take. Here's what Travis saw on the initial setup, when Travis is initially describing what happened.
nice two hop hit me right in the chest, and I leaned over, applied the tag, blocked the plate after I caught the ball. And initially I didn't know if he was safe or out just because I had to, you know, lunge to the right to make sure I blocked the plate. But after watching the replay, to me, it looked like his foot didn't touch the bag. From any angle we saw, that was shown on the field. Afterward, I saw even more angles and it didn't look like his foot touched the plate. So I don't know what they saw or didn't see in New York, but I thought he was clearly out at home plate.
And here he talks about Ozuna having like a good throw. It wasn't a good throw, 77 miles an hour. But for Marcell Ozuna, we get it. Everybody knows he doesn't have a strong arm. I don't need Twitter GMs trying to tell me, oh, now everybody's going to run on Ozuna. They all were running on him anyway. It's the worst kept secret in baseball that his arm is toasted. That's not the point here. The point was he made a good throw and he got the guy out and it just wasn't called. It's absolutely that is the bottom line. And Travis talking about this, continuing, here goes Travis being asked about whether or not whether or not the umpires should have to explain themselves about why that call was made safe. Not just call stands, not just insufficient evidence, but have to actually explain themselves. And I like Travis's response here.
Well, not the umpires here, but the ones in New York for sure. I mean, they're the ones who make the call. All they tell the umpires here is safe or out. So like, why, what'd you see? Like, explain it. Like, they should probably get interviewed too. That's what I feel like.
Travis clearly upset with what's happening, as he should be. He made a whale of a play himself, did nothing wrong. He actually, that was a textbook play. Gathered the ball, blocked the plate after gathering the ball, and kept the guy from touching the plate. That was textbook what you're supposed to do in that situation. Completely unrewarded, because umpires get their fifis hurt whenever somebody says that their call was wrong. So no respect at all for that. And it does make it to where you can't trust replay, period. And it makes you wonder why you even have replay. And if you think that you're alone, you're not, as evidenced right here by this cut from Travis d'Arnaud when asked if he still had faith or if a play like that makes him lose faith in the replay system in total.
Absolutely. You know, it makes me not even want it anymore, honestly. It just slows the game down. It took like 5 minutes for them to decide that, and to me, they got it wrong, so I'd rather just not have it and get the game going.
So you see there, breath of fresh air from Travis. He's actually willing to be honest, and he's going to have to pay for it out of pocket because the Umpires Association is going to start crying because everybody is, oh, everybody's talking about how bad that play was. Well, you know what would stop people from bad-mouthing the umpires? If you actually held them accountable and you actually made the correct calls and you quit worrying about, oh, I don't want to be seen, like, I don't want it to be seen that robot umps would be better. You can clearly see that robot umps are better at this point. I mean, if you go in and you just reinforce an already bad call, which, by the way, everyone except for a couple Phillies fans clearly knows was wrong. Like, I'm not going to get mad at Joe Girardi saying, well, you know, it looked like his toe got in there. He's the opposing team's manager. What do you expect him to say? If you listen to Alec Bohm knows that he wasn't safe. Alec Bohm knows he never touched the plate. That's why he said, I was called safe, and that's all that matters. And I'm not going to blame Alec Bohm for that. It's not like I'd do the same thing in his situation. Not that admitting it would change the outcome at all, but I mean, that you're not going to just be like, oh yeah, no, I was definitely out. You're not going to fan the flames there. Just say, yeah, we got a gift, and there you go. And most people have been, you know, most Phillies fans that I've seen, like, yeah, we got a gift there. Some of them are just idiots, but that's to be expected with Philly. Overall, it takes the shine off what was an amazing game, because you could have talked about any number of things from the night. Acuna's just incendiary start to the season, Harper going deep again off the Braves, Freddie Freeman going deep again off the Phillies. It's been a huge power surge from him at home. There were a number of storylines you could have talked about, just about the momentum of the game swinging back and forth and back and forth, and one team grabs lead, the other team ties it up and back and forth. Instead, we're talking about umpires because they can't manage to do something simple, and they're so paranoid of actually correcting their mistakes that they become part of the game. This is when people talk about it being the umpire show. This is the type of things that matter. And this is different than usual. This isn't Joe West tossing somebody just because he wants to be on TV. This is a failure of the actual system itself. And to me, this is more egregious than the outfield fly. Now, the outfield fly was a much more important and dire situation, but that's a judgment call. As much as we all know that was the wrong judgment call, ultimately, that's a judgment call. This is not a judgment call. This is clearly, this guy didn't touch the plate. Bohm still hasn't touched the plate. We're sitting here, you're listening to this at probably 2:15-ish, 2:20-ish. Bohm still hasn't touched the plate. I don't understand how, and I agree with Travis here. The replay in New York, They should be forced to explain why they kept that call on the field. There should be some accountability somewhere. When every single from other baseball players around the league, talking about Mike Trout, who I don't know, just happens to be the best player on the planet. Justin Turner. People that aren't Braves fans. I mean, Mike Trout is a Phillies fan. And clearly showed. It's all over the board. Michael Conforto, who probably should have kept his mouth shut. But everywhere you look, players talking about what a horrendous call it was. And broadcasters and reporters and everybody. Anybody involved in the game. This is one of the few moments where the entire collective baseball world comes together and agrees on a particular call. And it just so happens that the umpires happen to be on the other side of that because, of course, they are. It's absolutely pathetic. Something else that was pathetic that we're going to touch on in the next segment is the response to this by the shortstop and who Atlanta once thought would be the face of the new Atlanta Braves, Dansby Swanson. So here's the part where if you're a big Dansby fan, you're probably not going to want to tune into this next segment because this is not a good look for him, and we're going to go into it after this right here on Locked On Braves. Hey guys, it's Dylan here to tell you about my friends at Built Bar. Built Bar are the greatest tasting protein bars on the planet. All sorts of flavors, ranging from the dessert portions, which are my favorites, talking about ones like raspberry cheesecake or birthday cake, ranging all the way into your more traditional protein bar flavors like peanut butter fudge or cookies and cream, and even the crazy outlandish ones like apple crisp or toffee almond or salted caramel or caramel brownie or caramel if you're from Georgia like me. There are all sorts of delicious flavors to try. You gotta try them all. Figure out which ones are your favorite. You gotta rank your own. It's a personal ranking system. But you gotta go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. You're gonna get a nice little surprise. And build your boxes. Try a bunch of different flavors until you've tried them all. And then you get to make and rank your own personal preference. These are perfect bars to go from anywhere from a meal replacement to a pre or post workout, even just a snack, because they're not bad for you. And they don't have that gross texture of those, you know, those store protein bars, those ones that are basically just, it's almost like the same consistency as taffy with just a weird taste after it. You don't get those with Built Bar. Built Bars taste great. They've got a really nice, soft texture that makes it really easy to eat. It's a lot more like a candy bar. Most of them have about 20 grams of protein and only about 4 net carbs total. Built Bar are the wave of the future, but don't take my word for it. Go to builtbar.com, promo code Locked On today. Everybody, welcome back into the most annoyed Locked On Braves you're likely to see this year. This is going to be where I've been taking shots at the umpires, as well you should. That was a horrendously bad missed call twice, and it definitely played a big role in the Braves losing that game. What should have been and could have been a sweep, which would have been a big deal. Would have been five in a row for the Braves. The Braves would have continued their march back up to the top of the division. And instead, now the Phillies get gifted a win that they really didn't earn at that part. They got rewarded for making a bonehead call. That was a ridiculous ball to even try to send somebody on. Luckily for them, it was Marcell Ozuna, and that's why they did it. Like, credit to them for being aggressive, but it was an out. It didn't pay off, and instead you get a win that everybody knows that should have an asterisk next to it. But it doesn't matter. So, for example, and people saying, oh, well, one game in April, it's not going to make a big deal. Not for the Braves, who I still expect to walk away with this division, but it can make a big difference for Philly. Like, if the rest of the NL East is as close as people think, one game can certainly be the difference between Philadelphia finishing third or finishing fourth, which I still think they're finishing fourth. They could finish third, but I still think they're going to end up fourth. And you're talking about that one game can play a role. It can keep another team out. Let's just say, for the sake of argument here, that the Phillies beat the Mets by one game for the second wild card. That one game you can trace back to this one. Now, sure, you can say there's probably other games at some point during the season, but that doesn't take away from the fact that this game also matters. And that's one of the reasons what Dansby said last night at the postgame made me so angry. It's just a very tone-deaf response from Dansby. So, if you heard the whole thing, then you know what Dansby's really talking about. But this this is not a smart clip from the Braves shortstop. This is not a smart thing for a guy from Atlanta, by the way, who's from Marietta and been here forever. This is not a smart take for him to have on this situation. He starts it off with this clip here.
It's obviously tough. I've actually been having a conversation with Carlos, the umpire at second base tonight, and just I don't think we understand or give umpires enough credit, really, for how much they have to go through, too, in a season. Because they're away from their families. They are obviously doing their best, you know. They travel just as much as we do. Late hours, you know, the quarantine, all of that stuff, right? But it's just tough when you can go to slow motion and everything and it still doesn't work out in your favor, especially something where it kind of felt like, you know, the game kind of got taken out of our hands a little bit.
As you can see, just clearly covering up for the umpires, trying to explain why, oh, you know, it's tough on them too. I don't really care how tough it is on them, to be quite honest with you. I know it's a tough job. It's the job where, oh, nobody likes you. They get paid six figures. They get paid a lot of money to watch baseball games and make calls like that. I do not feel bad for umpires in that situation. Oh, the second base umpire, he's not making that call anyway. So cool, Dansby, you talk to Carlos. Why don't you talk to him about how, you know, how to actually get a call right? Whatever. That doesn't, I really don't care about the umpire's feelings. Their job is to get the call right. If they can't get it right, then we can actually go to an automated thing and it can be the correct calls. This was not a correct call, so I don't really want to hear defending the umpires. Because it's the umpires that got this wrong twice. The umpires that doubled down on this, despite the fact that the entire baseball world knew that this was the wrong call and that this should have been the easiest call to overturn. But, unfortunately for Dansby, he should have stopped there. Unfortunately, he didn't, as he then had this to say.
There's a few things that, like, bother me in this game. You know, I feel like I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky person. You know, I love the good Lord and try and do my best every day. But what happened after that, you know, I love the city. I love our fans. They're passionate. They care. But what happened after they announced that call is like, that's the most embarrassing part of the whole night. Not the call, but just the reaction and the throwing of things on the field.
This is the one that set me off. Now, if you listen to the whole thing, obviously, he goes on for like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. So I'm not going to play a full 1.5, 2 minutes of this to talk about. But this is an asinine premise from Dansby Swanson. Yes, throwing trash on the field is bad, and you shouldn't do it. Overplaying it so much as, oh, it's a danger to people. Let's calm down a little bit. That's very low likelihood of that. That's just a way of him trying to reinforce what he's saying. And I get what he's saying. Oh, well, you know, don't throw stuff on the field. Yeah, that's wrong. It is in no way more embarrassing than the call. Saying that throwing trash on the field is embarrassing only to Atlanta and Atlanta fans. This call was an embarrassment league-wide. The entire league spoke up about this call. That lets you know right there where you're at on the scale of which is more embarrassing. This is a pathetic call. Everything about the trash is in response to the trash call. If they get the call right or they have the stones to actually make the correct call, no trash is getting thrown on the field. And by the way, I know the people that it sucks for is the people that have to clean up the field afterwards. The people that do a good job and do a really good job making that field look good. I get what he's saying. I get what he's saying about the kids too. I understand that. But for Dansby, you should have just kept your mouth shut if that was going to be your take. This is like David Justice. This is another David Justice situation. And Braves fans aren't going to be too happy with this from Dansby. And I've seen some forgiving it and like, oh, well, you know, he's kind of right. I'm not going to say that he's okay. Dansby needs to shut his mouth on that. Dansby knows exactly what was going on this. That's a bad take. That's a bad take from your shortstop. The embarrassment here is exactly what Travis laid out, exactly what Snit laid out, exactly what Drew Smyly laid out, exactly what the rest of the league laid out. The embarrassment is blowing that blatant missed call, blowing that call twice. That's the embarrassment, not throwing trash on the field. The fans have a right to be upset about that. They spent good money for those tickets. It's been a long time since we've been able to go to Truist Park. It's not just the umpires who you know, have a tough job. This was a game that was a great game that was about to go into extras, and I have a big problem with this. I understand what Dansby's saying. You know, he's trying to take the tact of, you know, he's taking the tact of we should rise above and a bad call doesn't excuse bad behavior. That's what he's saying. But you know what? Bad behavior doesn't excuse a bad call. The call was worse than the reaction from the fans. This is just like the outfield fly rule game. The only difference is nobody's trashing Atlanta for throwing trash this time. That was again. Now, if you're saying, oh, should I be throwing beer bottles? No, you shouldn't. Don't be throwing beer bottles around, whatever. I'm not going to fight with the fans on this one. I'm not going to be telling off the fans. So, you know what? I'm done with that. We all know, we're all adults. We know what is and isn't acceptable, but we also know that emotion can get the best of everybody. And I like how Dansby qualifies it with, I love these fans and I know how passionate they are. Then don't proceed to go and rip on the fans for something you should be ripping on the umpires for. Come on. Have the same stones as the rest of your teammates. Maybe ask Travis d'Arnaud if it's the fans that were the most embarrassing part of this game. Maybe ask Brian Snicker if the fans were the most embarrassing part. Maybe ask Will Smith. I don't know. Get out of here with that. Dansby Swanson, you can take that L too and come back and maybe we'll be different. Maybe he'll come out and say something else. I'm sure he's angry about it, too. Again, I'm not saying this because it's like, oh, well, they deserve to have stuff thrown at them. I'm not saying that. But to come out and say that all the fans were the most embarrassing part, that is a slap in the face after they got kicked in the balls. After you got kicked in the balls. So I'm not down with that. It's a tone-deaf thing to come from your shortstop, who at one point the Braves were trying to push him as the face of the franchise. It's clearly not him anymore. It's Ronald Acuna and Freddie Freeman. But for Dansby, that's a bad take. Do better. All right, so I don't have anything else for today. Hopefully you guys are still with me. The Braves will be back in action tonight. Wasker Onoa takes the bump again. I didn't even have time to really dig into Wasker Onoa. So after his start tonight, we'll talk about Wasker on tomorrow's episode. I'm absolutely certain about it. Good luck to Wasker, as it'll be the Marlins coming into town. Poor Marlins have to come in and face a mostly pissed off Braves team, with the exception of maybe one player, I guess. It'll be Wasker Onoa versus Sandy Alcantara, which should be a very electric matchup, as the Braves and the Fish meet for the first time in 2021. So everybody else out there, y'all have a great day. Thank y'all for tuning in. Appreciate you. We'll be back again tomorrow right here on Locked On Braves.